My mother is from St. Louis, Missouri. She moved back to Mississippi when she was 3 years old, which is where I'm originally from. My father is from St. Martin, Caribbean Islands. He was an immigrant and he came to New Jersey at the age of 9, and he met my mother at an Air Force base when he was in the military. What about you?
My mom, her whole side of the family, they've been in California, I think, most of their lives. And then my dad's side of the family, from St. Louis, Missouri as well.
Really?
Yeah,
What?
so I didn't
Okay.
know that about you. My mom is white. My dad's black. My dad, he ended up going to college in Oregon, and that's where my mom went to college. So they met around college time in their lives.
Did you go to public school, private school?
I went to public school always. I went to a good school, it was fine, but the area I grew up in for me was kind of alienating just because there was this period in time when I was really, really young where there was lots of black people in the area. Then there was this mass exodus out of that city in California. So it was isolating in some ways.
So did you live in like a black neighborhood?
No, the majority of people in that town are white or Mexican.
Yeah, that's something I didn't experience until I got to California. The Latinx population, we don't really have that big of a population in Mississippi, so that was very interesting to me. My racial placement of people was white and black, and then having this in-between group, that's a struggle for me since I've been at Berkeley. Like, okay, there's this other, also a marginalized group who has similar experience to ours, so how do I place that into my racial framework?
I think it's always interesting to hear people talk about it that way because I think in American schools, it's like binary, white or black, and that's the two ends of the spectrum, and you have to place people in front of you or behind you. That's not how it is, though. I think there is a binary, but it's just white and other.
Back in high school, I had certain priorities, and those priorities probably creating a family. So I'm just trying to prepare for those things. And I think about that because I have no choice but to think about that. And then I'm like, okay, I don't really know. I don't know how to raise a black boy in this world. Do I tell them to be a leader? But then I don't want them to think that to be a man is to inherently be a leader. Those are some things I struggle with, the ways in which black men subscribe to patriarchy. So I'm like, okay, if that's the case, what is the solution to raise better boys? Okay, well, how will I raise my child? It's very scary. Do you want to have children? Okay. Do you have different ways that you plan on raising boys and your girls?
If I have a daughter, it's more about telling her that she's not limited in any way. She can have whatever interest she wants. She can be a leader and she can be captain of a football team, and it's not weird or not different. As we move through law school, it almost makes me more scared if I ever did have a son, because I just know how scary and intense the system can be and how it works against people, especially people of color. So I'm like, okay, well, how do I have that conversation? How do you think race and gender is handled in conversations in law school generally?
There is a intentional desire by, I think, the legal institution to push race, gender, and class aside and to focus or try to shift the paradigm of what the law is to be this objective thing. And I think that we as black students and brown students come to this law school saying that's not the case. It's not how law works. Law works from a very biased perspective. We were in our property law class, and the class failed to talk about things that I found important to my identity, which include race, gender, and class. And for me to come to law school with the desire to upend some of those issues that are pervasive in our communities and not discuss these things, and feel so erased and so marginalized and so unheard, that's frustrating. And you asked this dope question. I think it was about race, but I just remember in my head immediately thinking, oh, that's really black. I like that. And so that's when I asked you to join the podcast.
Blacklisted, our podcast, is a good outlet because it gives us that space that a lot of the administration says that we don't have the space for in law school to deal with some of the topics that we don't get to in class. I don't think professors or whoever's setting the curriculum in law school does enough work to inject intersectional conversations about race, gender, class into what we're learning. So that kind of keeps me fulfilled and keeps me optimistic when we work on it, because it's nice just to be free and be able to express whatever our thoughts are. So I find it really therapeutic.
We started Blacklisted to make sure that we reached out to Black pre-law students, not to minimize their optimism or anything, but just to let them know the reality of law school and how this space can sometimes be isolating.
And it's nice to have some sort of project to work on that might help future law students coming in, especially if they have another layer to their identity. I feel like part of the culture in law school is just pretend you don't have any problems or that it's all coming easy to you. And it's really not, especially when you feel really challenged in your identity every day. So I wish that in law school, especially the first year, students have more of an opportunity to talk about how the law is actually affecting human beings, because it's not like this separate objective truth, like humans created it. It's like social control, so it deals with society. So I wish we talked about it more. But I'm still hopeful that in the next couple of years, as we get to pick our classes and pick which conversations we're a part of, that'll change. But I just hate that it's not a school-wide culture to talk about intersectional identity, because the fact that it's only self-selecting groups that are going to do that over the next couple of years is very problematic for the rest of the lawyers that are going to graduate from law schools that never had to engage in those topics.
Exactly.
And then deal with people's lives every day.
I just feel like law professors have so much power.
Yeah.
And they have a wide latitude to really discuss these things, because I talked to the administration and they kind of say, you know, we don't have any control of what professors teach or how they teach and what they include in their courses. You know, like, why not? If you have students who are experiencing these things, you see mass media cover the way that the law continues to infringe upon Black and brown lives. Include us. But I'm not going to continue to pander.
I just hate when we bring it up. I feel like students of color bring it up all the time. Women and queer people bring it up all the time. We need more context in the classroom. But then they say, oh, we just don't have time. There's just no time built into the curriculum to have those conversations. But if we could make time, that's just a fake concept.
Yeah.
That we can't extend the courses for like a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And just add in those conversations, because if not now, then when is kind of my perspective. Mm-hmm. Because they say there's no space built into the curriculum for that. You guys made it up. Of course there is.
Which for me means there's no space built here for you.
Right. Because when you erase people's identity like that, then what are you saying? There's no time for you to be here?
Exactly. Ever since the podcast, I'm like into this media stuff. It's pretty cool. Yeah. To be heard. It builds community.
That's something we share. We want to connect with people in some way. I could never see myself ending up in a profession where I'm not connecting to other people.
The impact may be marginal, but it's cool to connect directly with a Black person about our lived experiences. That's dope. What do you want to do with the law?
I really want to practice law in some capacity. Long term, I'd like to work in public policy. I really want to be an advocate for a group of people. What do you want to do with the law?
In an ideal world, I would like to become a law professor. I think that that's where the most impact happens. If I could shape the minds of future congressmen, future presidents, and let them know that these groups have to be central to your advocacy and work, I'll be pretty satisfied with my life.